Three pastors got together for coffee one morning. Much to their surprise, they discovered that they all were leading churches that had problems with bats infesting their belfries. The bats were making a terrible mess. "I get so mad," said one pastor, "I once took a shotgun and fired at them. It made holes in the ceiling, but it did nothing to the bats." "I tried trapping them alive," said the second. "Then I drove 50 miles before releasing them, but they beat me back to the church." And the third pastor said, "I haven't had any more problems." "Well, what did you do?" the other two anxiously asked. "I simply baptized them and confirmed them, and I haven't seen them since." If that story doesn't make you laugh, it will make you cry. It is such a common occurrence. People come to church desiring baptism and or membership, and they're brought into the fellowship of the church, and then after a few weeks, where are they? We haven't seen them for a while. Parents stand at the baptismal font to present their child for baptism. They make promises to bring up the child in the household of faith, and we make promises to support that family and to also help nurture that child. But often we rarely see them again. So what do they and we do with our promises? On the second Sunday of Epiphany, as Carol said, our lesson from the Gospels focuses on the baptism of Jesus. Now, John was giving a baptism of repentance, and Jesus came to him and asked to be baptized as well. It was a dramatic moment for John, and even for Jesus, for there came a voice from heaven, "You are my son. With you, I am well pleased." Hear those words again. I will change them just a bit. "You are my child. With you, I am well pleased." I imagine God said that at the baptism of each and every one of us here. God loves us and is well pleased. Now, baptism has always been at the heart of our Christian faith. It's a sign and a symbol that a person belongs to Christ. It is a requirement for membership in the church. It's a sacrament, a means of grace. Now, unlike other denominations, we have two sacraments, the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of Holy Communion. What makes them sacraments is that they are holy, not because of what we do, but because of what God does in that act. As we take communion and as we baptize a child, God is present and God is blessing us. That is what makes it a sacrament, because God is giving us, granting to us, his grace and his love. So what does all this say as to what baptism means? First of all, I think it means that it is God who has saved us. It is God, not the water. The water is simply a symbol. There's a story about an old mountain preacher who was baptizing converts at the riverside. And one fellow walks up to him and asks to be baptized. And the preacher takes him out into the river, into the water. And he led the man out. And he asked this traditional question that he always asked. Was there any reason why this man should not be baptized? And after a pause, big, burly fella stepped forward, and he said, "Well, Pastor, I don't want to interfere with your business, but you need to know that this sinner is such a sinner that one dip in that water ain't going to do it. You're going to have to take him out to the deep ocean and send him down to the bottom for overnight, and that just might do it." Well, if it were the water that cleansed us, if it were the water that was the sacrament, that might have been true. Maybe that fella did need to go out to the deep ocean. But it's not the water. It is what God is doing with that water, what God is doing in the midst of those people and with that person being baptized, even if only an infant, the seeds to grow as God's child are planted. Baptism is about what God is doing. Grace isn't something that we have earned. Grace is what God has given to us. It symbolizes a turning from sin, and it's God who delivers us from the power of temptation. It's not a victory of our will, but of God's grace. That is what it is, and that's why we come to Christian baptism in an act of total humility. It is baptism, not the water, that is a symbol of God's grace freely given. That water we bless, or I bless when I come in here, so that when you are ready to go to the font, to dip your fingers in the water and make the sign of the cross, you are receiving God's holiness. Now, that water's not sacred, but once it has been blessed, it contains the part of, not the whole essence of, but at least part of God's love for each and one of you, part of God's grace for each and every one of you. Baptism is a symbol of our initiation and our welcome by God into His community of faith. You perhaps have at one time or another seen on TV the old black and white video footage, and some of us are old enough to remember seeing it the first time it was shown, of the marchers that Martin Luther King led. And when they were greeted, particularly in Birmingham, my hometown, with what? Warm embraces? Water hoses. Powerful firemen's water hoses, which are strong enough so that a strong person, cannot stand. And Martin Luther King said, he remarked that he and the other members had a common strength. He put it this way: as we went before the fire hoses, we had known water. If we were a Baptist or some other denomination, we had been immersed. If we were Methodists and some others, we had been sprinkled. But we knew water. What he was saying was that these hoses can't stand up to the blessing that we have received through other waters. Baptism symbolizes a turning away from sin, but it is God who delivers us, not we who have the power to turn away from sin. But it is God who stands there and helps us and delivers us Himself. We come to Christian baptism as an act with our total humility. Baptism is a symbol of God's grace freely given to us. In Vienna, Austria, you can find a church where the Habsburgs, the former ruling family of Austria are buried. And I tell you this story because a tour guide told it when I was standing at the doors of this church. When any of the royal family died, that was where they were to be buried, in that church. And when they would get into the funeral cortege, they would carry the body to the doors of this church, and someone would go forward and knock on the door, and a priest from inside would ask through the locked door, "Who is it that desires admission here?" And the guard in the front would say, "His Apostolic Majesty, the Emperor," would say the guard. And then the man inside, the priest inside, would say, "I do not know him." And then again, a second knock would follow. And a similar question is asked, "Who is it that comes and wants admission?" And a guard would step forward and say, "The highest emperor." And again, the priest inside would say, "I do not know him." And a third time, a guard would walk up to the door and knock. And the priest inside would say, "Who is it that wants admission?" And the guard would say, "A poor sinner, your brother." And the doors would be opened. And the emperor could then be brought into the church, the cathedral, for his burial. Now that's the proper attitude for baptism. Not that we're high and mighty, but that we come in humility, because we come because we know it is God who has saved us. It is God who will bring us into his kingdom, not anything we have done. God loves us and gives us his grace and his love. And the second thing we need to know is that it is God who calls us. And in baptism, we are given a new identity. Now, we don't go outside and change clothes and we look all different and we immediately are gracious and loving people. At least I wasn't. I don't know about you. Maybe you were, but I know I wasn't. And we feel like we have to work at it. But God will do that with us and for us if we just let him do it and quit struggling and quit fighting and turn our lives over to God. Sue Monk Kidd, in her book All Things Are Possible, talks about opening her newspapers and always finding horrible, dreadful news, which is kind of where we are right now. We open the paper or turn on the news, and all we've heard about this last week is either COVID or the anniversary of the assaults on the Capitol. It's all been bad news. But one time she said she opened up the paper and the headline read, "I asked Jesus into my heart." She thought, whoa, that's a story worth reading. And she went on to cite the story. During the night, dogs had begun to bark furiously around the home of a local couple. Usually the dogs barking signaled something amiss, that perhaps prowlers lurked nearby. By the next morning, the couple discovered that nothing had been taken. Instead, something had been returned. Outside the front door were two car speakers that had been stolen 6 weeks earlier. A note attached to them read like this, "I'm sorry that I took your speakers, but now I have repented of my sins and asked Jesus to forgive me. I hope you will forgive me too. I no longer take other people's belongings. God has changed me. I'm a new creature since I asked Jesus into my heart." It was signed simply, "Saved." When I read that, And I got to the point, it was signed simply. Of course, my mind goes off, well, what would it have been signed? And what came to my mind was, I am baptized, which I think fits for me, maybe even more than saved, because saved can connote that I'm going to be free from sin for the rest of my life. Doesn't quite mean that. Baptized, rather, means God's grace has come to me, and God will be working in my life to protect me from sin, to help me to keep from sinning. It's not a done deal. We have to let ourselves be used by God and be open to God. So in baptism, God is pouring out his love and his grace upon us. God is calling us to be new people, to be his children. Wall Street Journal had an article one time that cited a young Muslim Turk. Our view of religion is different from yours, he said to a Western visitor. According to your rules, religion counts only in the place where you pray. Our religion, however, is a way of life. I have no time at all, not 1 minute, without Islam. Is that how the world views the Christian faith? That we are Christian only when we are in this room, when we are gathered together to worship God, and we walk out these doors and go into the world and don't act like Christians anymore. Maybe we should be the ones who are saying, I have no time at all, not 1 minute without Christ. It is God who has saved us. It is God who calls us. And finally, it is God who goes with us. Just as we do not come to baptism trusting in our own merits, but trusting in God's grace and his love for us, neither do we live the Christian life trusting in our own strength and our own resources and our own ability. But we lean on God. We lean on Christ. It is said that Martin Luther had his hours of doubt. And when he had such, he would say, and I was never a Latin scholar, so please forgive my pronunciation. Baptisitus sum, baptisitus sum, which means I have been baptized. I have been baptized. Just as Jesus heard at the time of his baptism, you are my beloved son. You, with you, I am well pleased. So we too hear God's voice. You are my own beloved child. You, I love. You, please me. With you, I am well pleased. God has said that and says that over and over again to each and every one of you. Everyone in a small town called her Grandma Richardson, and she would sit on her front porch rocking and softly humming songs that she had learned as hymns that she had heard, learned as a child and as an adult. And one day she looked up, and there were four men coming up her walkway to her front porch. Well, she lived in a mining town, so she knew what that meant. Her husband had been killed in a mining accident. Well, time went by, and she continued to sit on her front porch, rocking away and softly singing her hymns. And the children began to gather in the neighborhood and come over to sit with her and learn the songs from her. And she would sometimes tell stories to them, biblical stories, and they would listen very intently, particularly David and that Goliath. their ears were open and they were taking all of this in. And again, four men came up her walkway, climbed her steps. Her oldest son had been killed in a mining accident. The children continued to gather around her, and some would come up and press her hand or lean against her knee and pat it. And time went by, and the children continued to come, a little bit younger now. And she continued to sing. And then again, men came up her steps to her front porch. Another of her sons had been killed in a mining accident. She knew that's what happened in a mining town. And the children, one of them asked her, "Aren't you sad today?" As she was singing. And she said, "Of course I'm sad inside. I have been very, very sad every time I have lost someone that I have loved. It is hard when that happens." And the children said, "Well, then how can you smile? And how can you sing such beautiful songs when there's sadness in you?" And her answer was, "I am sad. It is hard to say goodbye to someone you love. But I have something else inside of me besides sadness." And then she spoke of her faith. So the children asked her, "Can you give us some of that faith? Can you give us some of that?" And she said, "Children, my friends, I have been giving you that every time you have come with my songs and with my stories. Yes, it is sad and it's hard to say goodbye. But when we have the love of God in our hearts, every hard thing becomes easier because we know God is with us." And that's God's promise to each of us. It goes part and parcel with our baptism, understanding that to be baptized is to become a new person, a servant of God. It is God in His grace who has saved us. It is His gift to us. It's God who goes with us. And what good news. Baptisi tu sum. I have been baptized. You, my friends, have been baptized. Blessings in the love of God. Amen.